only talk show on the Central Coast that exposes what the politicians in Sacramento are doing. You are listening to The Andy Caldwell Show.
I'd like to welcome you back to the show. One of the most important think tanks in the state of California, which covers the state of California, is the California Policy Center. It's our pleasure to welcome back Ed Ring, who's president of the center. His work has been cited in all the major publications. He has an MBA in finance from USC and a BA in political science from UC Davis. He was a chief financial officer for a bunch of startup companies in the Silicon Valley, and he has a variety of other experience as well. Ed, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Andy. I got to tell you, we have a new president, Will Swain, who is a fantastic guy. I am the VP of Policy Research now. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Well, thank you for being with us. Well, you've got a bomb of a story to drop on us today based on some exhaustive work you guys did. Why don't you tell us about this study comparing private sector pay versus public sector retirement earnings?
Sure. What we found was the average pension for a retired public employee in California after 30 years, and we didn't look at people who worked longer than 30 years, so it's not skewed upwards for that. The average pension is $68,000, nearly $69,000 a year. And we compared that to some research we did on what an active, full-time private sector worker makes, again, on average in California. These are both the 2015 figures, and that was $54,000 a year. So you have $68,000 for 30-year, you know, full-career pensioners after 30 years' work are collecting on average $68,000. And full-time workers in the private sector are, on average, making $54,000.
And then the other thing that you put into context is, what is the maximum benefit for Social Security, i.e. the retirement for the private sector?
Well, you know, you don't get this maximum benefit until you're 67, and that would imply, you know, over 40 years of work. And it's the maximum benefit, not the average. And that was $32,000 a year, less than half the average benefit of a retired government worker after 30 years.
So I would imagine, well, one of the things I think we need to talk about is averages obviously can be a distortion. And you mentioned that, for instance, you took 30-year employment history. Some people in the public sector may only have worked 5, 10, 15 years in the public sector, whereas a lot of people never work in the public sector. So the average in the private sector is true, but there are going to be people that argue that the average public sector worker makes a lot less because they didn't work 30 years in it.
Well, that's true. CalPERS, on their myths versus facts webpage, claim correctly that the average for a CalPERS retiree is $31,000, and that's about what it is for all the systems combined, because we looked at all of the individual systems and then compiled the data together. But the problem with this, Andy, is really clear. I mean, if, first of all, 30 years isn't a full career in the private sector, it's about three-quarters of a career. 40 years is a full career in the private sector. So, yes, if you include people who only worked 5 or 10 years, the average pension for a government retiree in California is only $31,000 a year. But why should somebody be expecting a pension that's more than that if they only worked 5 or 10 years? If you work 5 or 10 years, the presumption is you ought to be working somewhere else for the other 30 years or so. So, yes, the average is lower, but that's a very misleading average that CalPERS is telling people.
Now, the other little dirty secret is that, at least in the case of some SEIU employees, they're double dippers. They get the public pension and they qualify for Social Security. Did you guys figure that in?
We didn't take that into account. And so, you know, if you're going to look at what the average retirement package is for public sector workers, you have to take into account the 40% of state and local employees in California who also get Social Security. You also have to take into account the value of the benefits. And we don't get benefit data from very many of the pension systems that report this information. But for the, based on the counties that did give us that information, because some of the independent pension systems, such as Los Angeles County, which is a very large pension system, did give us benefits information, and the benefits are usually $10,000 or more. For Los Angeles, retired Los Angeles County firefighters, for example, the average benefits were $20,000, which is, again, in addition to the value of the pension and whatever Social Security they might get. So the number we reported, $68,000, is definitely on the low side of what they're really getting.
All right. Now, to complicate things further, some people get part of their pension or a significant portion in the form of a disability pension, which also comes tax-free.
Well, I you're right. And I think that the tax benefit is only on the first 50% of their gross income, which, of course, that's the stuff that's in the higher bracket. So it's not tax-free, but it's pretty close to tax-free. You know, you can argue about whether or not we should have disability pensions. I mean, there's certainly a strong case to be made for them if you're truly disabled on the job. But the problem is, how is it, for example, because, again, we only had disability reported by a few of the systems, but the ones that were transparent enough to give us that information showed some pretty shocking facts. The city of San Jose has an independent pension system for police and firefighters, and 50% of the retirees are on disability pensions in the San Jose system. And it kind of is surprising, you know, to think that it would be that high a percentage that were truly disabled in the course of their work.
Well, you know, I have a lot of cops and firefighters I deal with, and they basically say their knees get shot from one thing or another. And that's, you know, it's kind of that sort of stuff with a lot of them. But it's pretty common that toward the end of their career, they start complaining about knees, shoulders, you know, and things like that. And again, part of the reason that they're interested in this is because part of that pension doesn't get taxed. What kind of response are you been getting to this study?
Well, it's a surprise to most people who see these results because, you know, we knew the number was higher if you take out of the average people who only worked a few years. But we didn't know it was that high. You know, at $68,000 to $69,000 a year, that's a good living. And when you, of course, compare it to what ordinary folks that work in the private sector, you know, are getting paid for full-time work while they're still employed, it's a shock. It's a shock to people.
Plus, the overall context is it's driving us to bankruptcy because of the unfunded liability of this is just piling higher and higher and higher on the backs of taxpayers.
If we have another stock market correction, these pension funds are going to, what we've seen in terms of rate increases is just nothing compared to what it's going to be if we have another market
and
correction.
And we will.
Well, it's kind of inevitable that sooner or later we will, because if you look at the basic numbers, for example, the price-earnings ratio, the price-sales ratio, they're at historic highs. You know, the value of all stocks compared to the gross domestic product in the United States is higher than it's been in history. By every single measurement you look at, we're in the same place we were in 2008. We're at the same place we were in 2000. We're at the same place we were in 1929. And everybody's hoping that, you know, the economy can grow its way out of this, and maybe it will. But they're not basing their decisions when they're granting these pension benefits on responsible assumptions. They're really hoping that it's going to be the best of all possible worlds for, you know, for the next several decades. And I hope they're right. But
well,
a very
we know they're not.
They're wrong.
All right, we're going to take a break. Our guest, Ed Ring, Vice President, California Public Policy Center. You're listening to the Andy Caldwell Show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Andy Caldwell Show, the only talk show that covers the entire Central Coast, our state, and nation.
I'd like to welcome you back to the show. My guest is Ed Ring. He's with the California Policy Center. It's a very important think tank here in the state of California. And Ed, I'd like to you to talk about this piece you wrote, The Biggest Dupes in the History of the World.
Well, thanks for asking about that. That was a little bit of a humorous piece, because what we're seeing with these organized demonstrations around the country, and, you know, in California certainly as well, they frequently make use of poems and rhymes, and they chant them, you know, things like, hey, hey, ho, ho, you know, President Trump has got to go. And I'm making sort of a lighthearted case because you don't want to necessarily turn people off too much. You want them to see your point of view. But they're kind of dupes in a way, because what's going on in California is we're taking all of this money that we ought to be using to build dams, fix our roads and bridges, reservoirs, store water. It can be an off-stream reservoir. It doesn't have to be a high dam. It doesn't have to kill fish. We can do all kinds of wonderful things, though, to make California more prosperous, to lower the cost of living. We could develop land, we could develop electricity, and we could develop natural gas. And we're not doing that at the same time as we're turning California into a so-called sanctuary state and inviting millions of people to come into California, most of whom are destitute. Now, there's a strong moral argument for letting all these desperate people come into California because we want to help them. But if we're going to do that, why aren't we making room? Why aren't we letting people develop land? Why aren't we building reservoirs? Why aren't we drilling for natural gas and creating cheap electricity? They want to have their cake and eat it. They want to cram down all of our resource production and raise the price of everything at the same time as they want to let millions of people. In, you know, so I had a little chant for that. Please come on in. We welcome millions more, but building homes is sinful, so go sleep on the floor. Or here's another one. Neglect the roads, let dams give way, but increase public servant pay. You know, these are the kinds of contradictions that expose the people that are so violently against all of the policies that conservatives advocate. Dupes. They're dupes.
Well, I think what they are is, I think dupes is a great word. I think they're ideologues with a disconnect. I think they're exploiting people. I think that they have divided interests and they just lie to pretend that they're going to satisfy all the needs of all the people and the environment all the time. And what you've pointed out is a serious failure. And again, specifically, they encourage immigration while curtailing our supplies of energy, water, and land. And you could add to that subsets of affordable housing, jobs, schools that are working. Because on the one hand, they protect the dysfunction because that, too, is part of their coalition.
You know, it's good that you bring up the fact that there's a lot of opportunists involved here, because that, again, points to how they're being duped. You know, you talk about, for example, that they're so militantly opposed to Wall Street special interests and oligarchs and all the wealthy people. But who do they think is investing all of these pension fund assets? And then they collect billions in fees and commissions and consulting fees and bonuses. Who do you think's making billions of money when they lend money to the cash-strapped cities, the local governments? They've gone broke, paying government workers twice what ordinary citizens make. You know, they probably should make more than the average citizen simply because their jobs, on average, require more skills, but not twice as much. That's where all the money's going. Then they have to borrow money. Who goes in there? Wall Street goes in there. They make billions and billions of dollars lending money to these cities and counties. They make billions and billions of dollars investing all that pension fund money. So again, we hate wealth, we hate greed, but we are Wall Street's friend in need. Invest your savings in the market and lose it in the crash, but we'll increase your taxes. So pension funds, have cash. You know, this is the way they're being used. They're being used.
Well, and let's put a fine point on this. We're talking about the pensions. The pensions are at least 90% dependent on stock market returns, because here's how it works, folks. The employees put in very little into their own pension fund. The employer, i.e. government, i.e. the taxpayers, will put in a certain percentage of each paycheck into this fund, but the bulk of the money that ends up getting paid out isn't based on how much they put in. It's based on the returns they got from their investments. And so the fact of the matter is there is no group of people more dependent upon the success of Wall Street than these unions. And so, you know, when they had the Occupy Wall Street movement, which was sponsored by government employee unions, including SEIU,
right,
that was just a complete crock, because they're the ones without Wall Street, they have no pension.
That's right. And without profits, there's no pensions. And without really healthy economic growth, there's no pensions. And you were talking about the percent that comes out of stock market earnings. When they raised the benefits for the pensions back in 1999, which the unions and the pension funds and the financial interests lobbied overwhelmingly to make these pensions more generous, they said 100% of the financial requirements of the pension funds would come out of the market. And then later, when the market corrected, they said, well, it's 90%, which I think you quoted, something like that. Well, now they're saying it's 80%. But if the market corrects again, it's going to be a lot less than that. And if you look at the amount of money, the hundreds of billions of dollars that taxpayers are already putting into these pension funds, it's just in here in California, and then you imagine how much it's going to be if they can't rely on the market as much, it's just terrifying.
Well, our county overall is putting in at least 15% just into pensions. Salaries, benefits, and pensions is 60% of the budget. So pensions alone is 15% of our $1 billion budget. Salaries, benefits, and pensions are 60%, or $600 million out of the $1 billion, is going to the cost of employees in Santa Barbara County.
Yeah, and you know, we looked at the average pension in Santa Barbara County if you worked 30 years or more and retired after 2000 when the benefits were enhanced, and it's $80,836 is the average for Santa Barbara County. That's a pretty good retirement income for 30 years' work.
Yeah, and of course, there's a huge disparity or discrepancy between the public safety. Public safety is a huge driver in the averages, because they get a higher pension benefit because their salaries are typically higher. And they get to retire earlier, which means we pay it out for longer periods of time.
Well, you know, I respect and appreciate what public safety firefighters and police do as much as anybody. But we have to have a difficult conversation with all of the public employee unions and public employees about pensions, because you're right, it is much higher for public safety. But, you know, even when you take out public safety, you still end up with average pensions that are $50,000-$60,000 a year, which, again, is twice as much as the most you could ever expect from Social Security. Look at self-employed people. They're putting 12.5% of their gross income into the Social Security fund. They have to pay both sides of it, employer and employee. So that's their withholding, 12.4% of everything they earn. And they get Social Security. They get what? At the end of 45 years, they might end up getting 15, 20, if they're very lucky, 25,000. A few people can get all the way up to that maximum. And that's what they're going to get starting at age 67. With 12.5% withheld, you show me anybody in the public sector who has 12.5% withheld from their paycheck in exchange for pensions that even for non-public safety people are twice as much.
Yeah, there's something else. you know, the bottom line is the rest of us have become serfs.
If the government's going to get involved in retirement security, they should have the same formula for everybody. You know, you can put into compensation whatever's premium is deserved for doing risky work, for dangerous work, highly skilled work, professional work. Put that into the basic pay. But if the government's going to set up retirement security, make it fair by making everybody have the same rules and the same incentives.
All right, Ed, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Andy.
Ed Ring, California Policy Center, listening to the Andy Caldwell Show. Coming up next, Katie Grimes. Stay tuned.